Thank you, men. Take your Bibles, if you will, now. Brother Mike, good to see you here tonight, Brother Patterson. Glad you're out of the hospital and back here in the service. Luke chapter 22. We'll begin reading with verse 7, read through verse 20. And I want to preach on the subject of the ordained memorial. The ordained memorial. God ordained it. We take a look at it here. Luke chapter 22, you find your place there in verse 7. We'll begin as you follow along, and I'll read through verse 20. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wert thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." A little phrase, "This do in remembrance of me," verse 19. It's so important that we understand the Lord's Supper. God gave us here on this occasion full directions about how it should be carried out, observing the Lord's Supper, what it was, and explaining the purpose of it, and to show how it was done on that occasion. The directions for the Lord's Supper are very plain, very simple, very clear, very definite. And certainly they have a definite purpose. And so the main object of the supper, first of all, is a personal memorial. It is a personal memorial. What did he say? "In remembrance of me." In memory of me. A personal memorial. Not so much remember my doctrine. Not so much remember at this occasion my precepts that I've taught and all of that. But when we have the Lord's Supper, I think what he's saying here is focus on me. Focus on me, Jesus Christ, who shed my blood for you. Focus on the person of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we need to remember the Lord. We need to think about the Lord. Get all that other stuff you're thinking about out of your mind and concentrate on the Lord, on Jesus Christ. And we think of him as the trust of our hearts. What are you trusting in tonight? I'll tell you, I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the trust of my heart. I've put all of my faith and trust in him for all of eternity. For the New Jerusalem, nothing but the blood will wash away my sins. All of my trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The trust of our hearts ought to be him. Also, the object of our gratitude. We have so much tonight to be thankful for. We ought to thank God for all of his blessings, for eternal life. for salvation? Are we grateful enough in our life to really understand the shed blood of Christ, that we have an attitude of gratitude to Him that humbles us, that moves us, that causes us to have a servant's heart, like He did when He washed the disciples' feet, laying down that beautiful rabbi rabbinical robe and showing them that the greatest thing was to be a servant. He is the trust of our hearts. He's the object of our gratitude. He is the Lord, should be the Lord of our conduct. When we think about Him, it ought to sober us up to holy living. And if you're living outside of the will of God tonight and you have sin in your life, you're not honoring the Lord's Supper. You're not honoring the purpose of it. You're not honoring His body and His blood that was shed for you and His broken body for you. He is the Lord and should be the Lord of our conduct. How we live, what we do, where we go, what we say, what we think. He should be the Lord of our conduct, thinking about Him. And then He should be the joy of our lives. Thank God. He ought to be the thing, the person that makes us happy. It makes us feel with joy. Not a cheap, secular, worldly, temporal happiness, but a real, genuine happiness deep down in our soul where the Lord Jesus Christ, as we think about Him, it brings us joy. I'm glad tonight when I think of Jesus, I have joy in my soul. Well, there are many sobering thoughts, but I have joy in my heart when I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand the main object of the supper is a personal memorial in remembrance of me. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the memorial is very, very striking. It is symbolic. It has a teaching with it. It is very simple. The Lord's Supper is not complicated. Religion has made it complicated. You get out there in some of the religious ceremonies and some of all that they do, it's very, very complicated. But God has made it very simple for us because God wants us to appreciate it and understand it. And that's like the Lord. He was a very simple person. Oh, complicated to be sure, God in the flesh, but simple in His life and simple in what He did and simple in the way He approached things. Transparent, unpretentious. We only use the broken bread and we use the juice that is poured out. That's very simple, isn't it? But oh, is it ever meaningful? Should it ever move our hearts? We should never enter into the Lord's Supper lightly. We should never enter into it with the wrong attitude and enter into it in a way that is very shallow. I think God tells us we ought to do it frequently, with some frequency. And I believe that is important. He said, as oft as you drink it. Well, that implies that we ought to drink it every once in a while. Amen? As oft as you drink it. He didn't say you have to do it every week in every service. I suppose if a church wanted to do that, that would be all right. They would have to guard against it becoming a dead ritual. And I've been, back when I was in high school, I went to a certain denominational church with some friends on a Sunday night, and the whole thing was a joke. And every Sunday night in that church, they had communion. And those kids went in there before telling dirty jokes, and they were not living for the Lord, and they went out of there, a lot of them I knew, and they went out of there the very same way, and they giggled and talked and laughed through the Lord's Supper. Well, God says do it frequently. And we all know that it has meaning to us and enter into it very, very carefully. It ought to touch our hearts and touch our minds. And we are reminded, as He talks about that, that we have a constant need. As oft as you do this, don't let it become a dead traditional thing, but as oft as you do it, may we be reminded that often we have needs. We need to do this. Again and again, we need to be reminded. God tells us that. I'm glad that the Lord's Supper has universal application. You know, it works all over the world. No matter where you go, there are Christians who are partaking of the Lord's Supper. I've been in India and observed the partaking of the Lord's Supper and participated in it. I've been in the Philippines and partook of the Lord's Supper and saw in just a small little church building that wasn't finished, and they had some plates and things that were bent, and they looked like they had been bought down at a Salvation Army auction. But that was precious to them, the Lord's Supper. They didn't have the beautiful, shiny implements that we had, but they had the Lord's Supper, because all over the world, God wants the whole world to know about it. Drink ye all of it. In every country, they celebrate the Lord's Supper. And God says and reminds us that everybody in the world needs to be saved. The salvation is for all people. And thank God that people, no matter where they are, can be saved. And then he reminds us that his death is the best memory of himself. There are a lot of memories we can have about Jesus. A lot of them. But I personally don't know of any that touches me like focusing my mind in some measure, in some way, on the cross of Jesus when he's suffering and dying. I don't see how we can not be moved if we think about Jesus dying on the old rugged cross. I love that old song, The Old Rugged Cross. Because every time we sing it, somehow in my mind I get a picture of Jesus hanging on that cross and suffering and bleeding and dying. The just for the unjust. The perfect one for people like you and me who are imperfect. And he says this is showing forth his death. We remember him showing forth his death, his broken body, his shed blood. And that's what it's all about. And then the object aimed at is itself very inviting. The object aimed at is inviting. Sometimes people forget and they get away from the Lord. Did you know that's a good time to come back and remember? To be in a service like this, if somehow the devil has fought you in your marriage, the devil has fought you in your life, the devil has caused you to get away from God some way, what a good thing it is, and it's open to all to come who have been born again and saved and followed the Lord in believers' baptism, that these can come for the Lord's Supper. You can come, though maybe you've gotten away from the Lord a while. As a matter of fact, forgetting, getting away from it is a good reason to come back to it. And we need to do that in our lives, to be reminded, hey, there's some things in my life I need to get right with God. And I go back and think about the Lord's Supper, and I think about his death, and I think about his suffering, and I think about his shed blood. And it moves my heart to say, he deserves that I walk in holiness. He deserves that I walk in obedience to his command because of what he's done for me and what he's done for you. And I believe that'll drive away other thoughts in our minds that are there. God doesn't want you to get encumbered right now about other things while we're talking about the Lord's Supper. He doesn't want you to get wrapped up in your resolves or even wrapped up in your regrets that you might have. But I think God wants us tonight to focus on him. Think about him. Think about Jesus, our lovely Savior. John 6:55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. What is he saying there? He's saying a lot of things, but he's saying this is good. This focuses on me. I'm the meat. I'm the drink that you need. I'm the sustenance that you need. Focus on me. Don't focus on the tradition. Don't focus on the way it's served. Don't focus on the preacher. Don't focus on anything else. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, as we have memories of him, he has memories of us. The Lord has things that are memorials to us. For instance, how about the nail prints in his hands? The Lord Jesus Christ sees those. They're still there. The only man-made thing in heaven are the nail prints in the Lord's hands and his feet and the place his side was pierced. But these are memorials to him that he loves us. And Isaiah 49:16, behold, he said, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. We are engraved upon the palms of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow, as we remember him, we have to remember that he remembers us. He died for us, and he knows he did. He paid our sin debt, and he knows he did. we see what he suffered. The marks of the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering that he went through. We should never get over that. I know sometimes we can get so accustomed to it that it doesn't move us maybe like it once did, but it should move us as we think about our lovely Savior, the Lamb of God, Jesus, being our substitute, and make it personal, being my substitute, your substitute, dying for you. And in a sense, when he was dying, we were on his mind. We were on his heart. He even talks about the elect and out in the future and all of that, that they were on his mind. And Jesus died for us on the cross, the marks of his passion. I think we also ought to bear the marks of his passion. And we ought to let others know how much we love him, and it ought to be on our heart. The marks of our passion and the marks of his passion, the suffering that he did for us, that ought to be in our hearts. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." This do in remembrance of me. One thing that implies, number one, is that you know him. This do in remembrance of me. If you do not know him, you cannot remember him. Not in that sense. You have to know him. You have to be saved. We have to know him first. There's no use saying to a man born that is blind, remember the sunrise. Because he never saw the sunrise. But those who are not saved, if you're here tonight, you're not saved, friend. You cannot enter into this, and there is no remembering like you should remember until first you get saved and you understand what it's about, that you're a sinner. Jesus died for you. He paid your sin debt, and if you'll ask him to come into your heart, he'll save you. There may be one person here tonight that's lost. Oh, to God that you would come to him tonight and understand and remember what he did for you. I think it also reveals his love for us. Why should he want us to remember him? You can't remember him unless you're saved, but why does he want us to remember him? Why does he want us to remember this? He set up a memorial that we might remember these things. Well, have you ever been around somebody, a dying person, a loved one, maybe a mate or a friend, a loved one, and they say something like this, "Now, I know I'm going to die. But you won't forget me, will you? You're not going to forget me, or you'll remember me, won't you? And I hope you'll think of me after I'm gone." And I think that's what Jesus is saying to us. He wants us to remember him because he loves us. And the nature of love is to remember those that are loved. And loved ones want to be remembered. I remember my loved ones, and I'm glad that I do. But I thank God I remember what Jesus did for me, and I'm glad that I do. And I'm sure you do too. It implies that it reveals his love to us. After I have gone away, don't forget me. Remember me. Remember me. It also implies there's a possibility and a tendency to forget. Remember. Why? Well, you might forget. If you're not careful, you'll forget what God's done for you. If you're not careful, you'll get wrapped up in the world and start living for the world. If you're not careful, you'll be doing all of those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust, the pride of life, and all of those things. You'll get all wrapped up in this old world system. We've got to get it back on course, and we have to have a realignment like our cars do, and spiritually get back on course and remember what it's all about. Don't get wrapped up in this world and get away from the Lord. We have a tendency to forget. By the way, God never ordains any kind of memorial in a needless way. If he ordained it, it's important. If he set it up, it's important. Just like the church. Some people act like the church is not important. Let me tell you, Jesus ordained and set up the church, and the church is important. And these things are given to the church. The ordinances, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. But God never set up something that was a needless institution, and I think it's probably a sin that we don't remember Jesus in a greater way more often than we do, and in a deeper way and compassionately. Thankfully, We can use every help we have available to us to remember the Lord. Whatever it may be, staying in our Bible every day, remember the Lord. Getting on our knees before Him every day, remember the Lord. But certainly when we come to the Lord's Supper, when we come to this occasion that we're going to enter into in just a few moments, we need to remember. We need to get a hold in our hearts again of what Jesus did for us. And so may God help us tonight to focus on Him. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you tonight, all of this reminds us that He will save you. I appeal to you again tonight, if you're here, young person, child, man or woman, if you've never settled that issue with God through Jesus Christ, do it tonight. This is what it's about. Jesus died for you. His body was broken for you. Thank God He paid our sin debt. We might be able to go to heaven. And then we're reminded a number of times in the Scriptures that we're not to partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Now what does that mean? Well, certainly, if a person is unsaved and never received Christ as their Savior, and they participate in it, they're participating unworthily. You see, this is not for unsaved people. And those who go through a dead, cold ritual in many of the churches, and they go through all of this routine without ever having been saved, they're just doing it unworthily. But like unto that, would be tonight if we do not have a right heart with God. What do you mean, preacher? Do you have any jealousy in your life? Do you have any envy in your life? Do you have any anger in your life? Do you have any bitterness in your life? Do you have any sex sins in your life? Do you have something going on that's bad that only you and God know about, and you all do know about it? Then, my friend, you need to make that right and hit the altar before you ever take the Lord's Supper tonight. Because that's sort of making fun of the Lord's Supper if you don't get things right in your life before you do it. I'm not trying to discourage you from taking the Lord's Supper. That's not the answer to it. The answer is be right in your heart before God tonight as you come to participate, or as we participate in the Lord's Supper. Whatever it may be, if we don't get it right, God says, that's why some people among you are sick. We're not to judge anybody and say, well, I know why you're sick, because you don't partake of the Lord's Supper worthily. But friend, sometimes the reason people die a premature death, and the reason they have problems, and the reason things do not work out in their lives is because they don't reverence the Lord's Supper. It's an important thing. Don't you think it's important? Say amen if you agree. And may God help us tonight to participate and remember what God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us. May it touch our hearts. May it humble us anew and afresh. May it help us as we go out of here to live the kind of life God wants us to live and to honor His broken body and His shed blood. Let's stand, please. We'll have our invitation. If you need to come and pray, may God help you to pray. Everybody here should, if you're saved and baptized, we do not practice closed communion. We practice close communion. But if you're saved and baptized, you have the right to participate in the Lord's Supper with us. But, old friend, if there's anything that might keep you from doing it, make it right with God tonight. Would you do it? Father, as we call on You, we thank You for this wonderful memorial. We go back to the Word of God and see how You instituted it with the apostles and what took place. Thank You for the simplicity of it, and yet for what it means and how deep that meaning is to us tonight. God, may we all be touched and moved in a new way, in a refreshing way, in a way of revival in our own hearts and souls as we go back to the cross and look upon it for just a moment and think about Your Son and our beloved Savior's broken body and His shed blood and all the suffering that He went through for us. Oh, God, help us to never, never get over it. If there's someone here without Christ tonight, help them to come and be saved so that they can participate in the future and know, do it in remembrance of the Lord. Help Christians to do what we ought to do tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.